Praise God. You can be seated. If you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and let's grab those. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, and praise and worship makes it easy to preach. It really does. But if you're not a preacher, you don't understand. Let's turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. Now, we've been talking about being led by the Spirit of God on Tuesdays. And I'm going to pull that over onto Sunday mornings because there are some things that you're missing because some of you aren't here on Tuesdays. And what we're talking about is so important for success to where you need to hear it. Amen. And so we're going to begin to look at this, get it into the flow of the Spirit, how to look to the Spirit of God for your answers. You know, when you got born again, God's intentions were for you to learn how to follow the Spirit of God and to allow the Spirit of God to lead you and guide you into everything that you needed to do to be successful in life. And so we're going to begin to look at that. You know, the Bible also says that the Holy Spirit, matter of fact, let's start there. Hold your place there in Isaiah chapter 60. And let's look at, I believe, Galatians is where we're going to go. And let's look at this because we got some things here that we need to understand. No, it's Ephesians chapter 1. I am determined to be a part of a Spirit-filled, Spirit-led congregation. Amen. I'm determined. I'm determined to see the glory of God in the services. I am determined to see the power of the Holy Spirit working, not just in my life, but in your lives as well. Amen. Now, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says, "In whom you trusted after that you heard the word of truth." So right there, that's talking about you getting born again, in whom you trusted after you received the word of truth, the gospel that produced your salvation, in whom after that you also believed and were sealed. The day you gave your life to Christ, according to Ephesians here, it says you were sealed with the Holy Ghost of promise. That Jesus promised you, you received, is what he said there. And if you're in here this morning and you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you have been sealed with the Spirit of God. Well, where have you been sealed? Well, Corinthians chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I believe, tells you, says that you've received and been sealed in your heart or in your spirit. So God lives, the Spirit of God lives on the inside of every born again believer. Now, why did he make sure to make it clear that you were sealed with the Holy Spirit? Verse 14, the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of promise is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Well, the Amplified Bible for verse 14 says the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is the guarantee. He came first because he is the one that's going to guarantee everything else that you are supposed to receive, everything else that you're supposed to do in this life, you get it. He's the guarantee of our inheritance. You know, Jesus left some stuff for you and I when he died. That's what inheritance means. And it says the Spirit of God is the guarantee you getting your hands on what Jesus left. So in other words, without the Spirit of God, you may not get your hands on some of your inheritance. So he's the guarantee of our inheritance. He is the first fruit, the pledge, the foretaste, the down payment on our heritage. The word heritage is your birthright. See, because you were born into the Spirit, into the house of God, by birth, there are things that belong to you. Well, it says right here, not only is the Spirit the guarantee of getting your inheritance, he is the guarantor on your birthright. And you're acquiring complete and total possession of it to the praise of his glory. So we're going to have to learn how to depend on God, on the Spirit of God who is in you. He is the most important person to us. The most important person in this day and time in your life right now is the Holy Spirit. You don't get anywhere or get anything in God without him. Now, there's a lot of things that you can go out in the world and do, but you won't find true happiness and true success. But if you're looking for true happiness and true success, if you're looking for God's perfect will for your life, if you're looking for that he has created you to be, you're not going to find it without the Holy Spirit. Because he's the guarantor. Amen. So now let's take that. And let's look at the book of Isaiah. Now, some of you guys have been here on Tuesdays may say, well, we've heard that already. Well, let me go ahead and say this to you. You can have heard the same message 20 times. And if your heart is hungry, God will show you something different every single time. There will be a new revelation that will come out of the same scriptures every single time. Why? Because they're full of God. And God is not a one-dimensional God. So don't sit here and say to yourself, well, we've heard that because we're here on Tuesday. That don't mean anything. All that means is that you've primed and in a great position to go a little higher. Amen. 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 Now, in Isaiah chapter 60, well, let's go back up into chapter 59. And verse 17, talking about, this is a prophecy about Jesus. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing. And he clothed himself with a zeal as a cloak. And then verse 19 says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. Now, watch how I read this, because this is the way that this scripture should have been written. When the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. See, we've always heard that scripture read to us in the facet of when the enemy comes in like a flood. Well, the enemy is not going to be able to overpower God. God is the overpowering force here. So when the enemy comes in like a flood, immediately the Spirit of the Lord will lift up and raise up a standard against whatever he's trying to do when he comes in. But that's only in the people that are going to yield to the Spirit of the Lord. You know, you're not in this earth without help. I don't care what the devil is trying to come into your life and do. The Spirit of God is always there, ready and willing to raise up a standard and overwhelm anything that the enemy is trying to do. No matter what it is, it may look impossible, but it's not impossible to God. The only reason that it looks impossible to you and I is because we have yet to receive an answer or the information on how to handle that. But I'm telling you right now, the information is available. And what we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks here as we go through this is how to get our hands on the information that we need that will cause us to live and rise above anything and everything that is going on wrong in this world. That's what we're after. Information on how to receive our healing. Information on how to live in a state of complete and total deliverance. Information on how to get our money right. Information on how to get free from debt. There is information that has been provided for us if we'll get in touch with the Spirit of God on the inside of us, and we will rise above all problems that life's presenting to you. Because like a flood, there's a standard that will be raised up against it. Now, he goes on and he tells you how it's going to be done. He says, and then the Redeemer shall come to Zion. Well, the Redeemer has come. And unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. That simply means the Redeemer will come to anyone that will repent. Now, repent doesn't just only mean get saved. The Redeemer will rise up and will come to anyone that will change their mind and position on how they feel about that thing. When you make the decision that what you're saying and what you're thinking and how you're doing it is wrong and God is right, you've just repented and there's been a change of mind, and the Bible says the Redeemer will come. Now we can raise up a standard here. Verse 21. Here's God still talking to ask for me. So God said, hey, I've settled it. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit that is up on them, and we can say as New Testament believers, not only is he up on us, but he is in us. Amen. And my words, which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth. So what is the key to success? It is the spirit of God in and upon you and the words that he's putting in your mouth to say. Not your words, his words. Now we come on down into verse 60. As a result of the Spirit of the Lord up on you and in you, and as a result of his word in your mouth, chapter 60, verse 1 says what? Arise. Get up. Change your position and your posture. You are not going to receive anything from God living in a continual state of depression. If the Spirit of the Lord is trying to raise up a standard in your life, if the Word of God is in your mouth, then the ability to get up is with you. So he says, arise and shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. The Amplified Bible says, arise, get up. Get up from depression and prostration in which your circumstances have kept you. I don't care about the circumstance. What I'm trying to get my hands on is the information that changes the circumstance. See, you're not going to get the information to change the circumstance focusing on the circumstance. I need the Spirit of the Lord to raise up a standard here to show me what I need to do to get out of this. Where's the exit? And that's what God is wanting to do in our lives. So it says, arise and shine, for your light has come. Arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. A new way of living, a new way of thinking, a new way of talking, a new way of acting. Do you believe this? I believe this. I've made up my mind and I believe this. See, I understand being sad and depressed. I've been there and done that. Didn't get anything done in my life. I understand spending hours on the floor on your knees praying and crying and whining, but don't get anything done in your life. But what I begin to find out is when I take my faith and plug my faith into God like God has asked me to, and allow the Spirit of the Lord to rise up on me and lift up a standard, information on how to get out of these things come. Information on how to change stuff shows up. See, the issue is and has been you allow the enemy to come and sit there. And as long as he's sitting there, the heaviness of his sitting there remains. Because you won't use your God-given authority and moving. A lot of God's people are praying, Jesus or God, you come moving. And God has already said to you, he is not getting up off of the throne to come back down here to move the devil out of the way. He's already dealt with Satan. And the Bible says that he is giving you authority. You moving. And the ability to move him is in you because God's spirit is in you. So I've learned that if I want something done in my life, then I'm going to look to the person that is supposed to be helping me to do it. And that is the Spirit of God. I refuse to stay sad. You should too. I refuse to be depressed, and you should too. I've made up my mind, and you ought to make up your mind today. I am going to be happy in Jesus. I am going to praise my God, and I am going to rise to this new life which he has made available to me. Now, that ought to be your mindset. So it says, rise up. It didn't say he was going to raise you up. It told you to rise up. Make the decision. Today is my day to get up. I've been down here long enough. Aren't you? You ought to be tired of walking around heavy, gloomy, sad, depressed, ready to bust out in tears in a minute every single day. That day is gone. That is not the new life that he has raised you and I up to live in. That is not who we are. That's who you used to be. That's not who you are today. Not a child of God should ever be in that position. Not when you have lived on the inside of you the spirit that created everything. So rise up, is what he's saying here. Your light has come. Now, in my Bible, there's a cross-reference for shine. It means an enlightenment. Rise up because there has come to you an enlightenment. There is an enlightenment, and the enlightenment is there to enlighten you on this new life that we're supposed to be living. There's an enlightenment that belongs to you. That means revelation, information is out there. That's what an enlightenment is. Where you may have not understood what to do, but then when an enlightenment comes, whoa, now I know how to handle it. Now I know what to do. So there's information that God is needing to get into your hands, but you're going to have to arise from depression and prostration to get it. Because God don't play around down here in the muck and the mire. He needs for you to come up here to where he's talking. So arise and shine. Be enlightened. There's some light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Now that word glory, when I looked it up, it means light of life. So some light concerning life has risen upon you. It also means an enlightenment of prosperity. There's prosperity available for you and I. Instructions for this life and how to get your hands on this prosperous life. When I say prosperity, folks, I'm not just talking about money, although money's a part of it. I'm talking about living the God abundant life in every area, because you can have a pocket full of money, but be laying flat on your back and you still aren't prosperous. You could be well and strong, but no money to go anywhere. You could be well and strong and your family hates you. So when I'm talking about prosperity, I'm saying in every area, every facet of your life, the inheritance and the heritage in which the Holy Spirit has made available to you and I. So it says, arise for this glory, the manifested presence of God, the manifested goodness of God, and the manifested power of God has risen upon you. It's there. Now, you may not see it, but it's there. For your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Honor has risen upon you. Dignity has risen upon you. Splendor, abundance, and riches has risen upon you. This is who God calls you. This is the standard of life that the Spirit of the Lord is trying to raise up and cause to overtake every circumstance in your life like a flood. What would be a problem to you if the Spirit of God would rise up and give you so many different ways to handle that issue? Would it be a problem anymore? No. It wouldn't be a problem anymore, would it? What would be a bill coming to your house from the IRS if you have an abundance of wealth in the bank? Is that a problem to you? No. This is where God is trying to get us. This is the standard of life that he is trying to get us or enlighten us to understand and then rise up to it. But it amazes me how many of God's people rather continue to stay in the sadness and the depression. Well, I've checked out of Sadville. I don't want to live there anymore. I'm going up to where God says live. Now, either you're going to believe this or you're not. There ain't no reason, it makes no sense to come to church and to serve God and live exactly the same way that you lived before you got saved. Something's wrong with that picture. We came in here because we wanted something different. We came to God because we wanted something better. Well, it's time to start living the better and start living the different. You can do all that other stuff out there in the world. That's what they're doing. But you told me when I got born again that my God was God. That's what they told me. They told me that my God was good. That's what they told me. Then it's time to see some goodness. Isn't it time to start seeing some goodness? So it's time to arise and shine, folks. God is not at fault here. He's done his part. He has put his spirit in you. He has done his part. He has given you the guarantee. Now, if you don't do something with the guarantee, that's your problem. That's the same thing if you go buy a product from a company and they tell you you have a money back guarantee if this product doesn't work. And you take that product home and you start to utilize that product and it doesn't do for you what it said it was supposed to do. And you get mad and throw the product on the shelf and walk away when you got a money back guarantee. But as long as it's on the shelf, that guarantee does you no good. If you want to benefit from your guarantee, you take the product back to the person you bought it from and says it's defective. And the person that sold you the product is going to make good on it, right? Well, isn't that true when it comes to God? But the issue is many of us have thrown our Bibles and our salvation up on the shelves and walked away from it because we tried something and it didn't work. Or you thought it didn't work because it didn't do what you thought it should have did when you thought it should have did it. But you need to take that guarantee and go back to the person that said it and hold it up before him and says, look, I got a guarantee in your word that says that you would do this. Now, where is the error? Where is the gaps? Where do I need the information? Because you have guaranteed me that this works, so it got to work. Now, either we're going to start believing God or we're not. I believe God. So I've made the decision, and hopefully you will agree with me this morning. We're going to rise up. No more depression. No more sadness. When you feel that heaven is coming upon you, you're going to tell it no. I'm not going to yield to you any longer. You don't belong to me. Satan, take your mess and get out of here. And then you're going to look to the Spirit to raise up a standard and show you how that little thief got in there. Because he'll show you. Now, Ephesians chapter 3. You know, the devil don't sold you a lie and got you thinking that he's all powerful. And I know where it came from, the preachers. Most of the preachers preach it to you because they preach it to me, and I thought that. I got to be careful when it comes to the devil. No, you don't. You ought to tell him every day, shut up and get out of my face. You ain't running nothing. He has been stripped of all of his abilities, his power. It was taken from him. He has no power. He has been stripped. The Bible says that he is nothing but a worm underneath your feet. Now, Ephesians chapter 3 says this. For this cause, verse 14. For this cause, I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he, the Father, would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. Now, what did Paul just say here? This is a prayer. that he received from the Spirit of God and wrote down, and God's intentions is for you to get in on what he's praying here. He says here that the Father would grant you, or would give unto you, or would extend unto you out of the riches of his glory. Or in other words, that out of what makes God God and out of what is in God, that he would extend that to you. God has extended the essence of him to you. Out of the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might. That word might there would equal to be strengthened in what makes God God, his anointing. To be strengthened in God, in the anointed one's anointing, in this anointing that God uses to do what he does, in the anointing that Jesus used to do what he did. That you would be strengthened by that anointing, because that's what might is. But notice, by his Spirit. So I can't walk in the anointing without the Spirit of God. Because if he is going to grant me, how do you put it there? That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, or that he would grant you according to what makes him, him, what's working in him. And he says that it comes how? By his Spirit. So as his Spirit indwells your spirit, then the essence that makes God God dwells on the inside of you and I right now. That has to be true if I have his Spirit. If his Spirit is in here, then what makes God God is already in you and I. And he said, now I want you to be strengthened with this anointing. Telling me that you can grow in this anointing, but it's by his Spirit. It's by you yielding to the leadership of the Holy Ghost. To be strengthened with might by his Spirit in your spirit. That's your inner man. In your spirit. You should always be growing and growing. Paul said, though the outer man perish, the inner man should be being renewed day by day, stronger and stronger. You ought to be stronger today than you were when you got saved. I don't care if you got saved yesterday. You ought to be a little stronger in the spirit today. We ought to be able to trace your life back from the day that you got born again up until now. And we ought to see where you have grown in strength, grown in authority, grown in revelation, grown in knowledge, grown in the move and the workings of the Spirit. You ought to be progressing every single day. Ain't no such thing as get saved and be the same thing every day. No, that is not who you are. You steadily increase. The word of God told us about Jesus, and the boy child grew and waxed strong. Then that tells me that we ought to be growing and waxing strong too. So it says here that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in your inner man, and that the anointing, that word Christ is the Messiah, and the definition for that word is that the anointing is either the anointed one, Jesus, or is his anointing, or both. And here is talking about, and that the anointed one's anointing may work in your heart by faith. God expects the anointing to be working within you, but notice it works in you by faith. You got to believe it. You got to believe that the Spirit of God is dwelling on the inside of you, and that Spirit is giving you the very essence and the very access to everything that makes God God. Now, I know I'm probably saying something that's shocking to a lot of your minds, but it's absolutely true. What makes, and let's use this as an example here. We could take this baby right here and we could take her to the doctor and they could draw some blood out of her arm and set her DNA out there. And then they can take her mom, draw some blood of her arm, and they can match that DNA. Why? Because what's in the mama is in the daughter. That's in the daughter came from the mama. The very essence of mama make the daughter. If it wasn't true, then there would be no way that could be her daughter. That's how they figure out who's who. Well, if that's true in the natural, then it got to be true in God, because we came from God. And if we have God's spirit on the inside of us, then the very essence that makes God God already dwells on the inside of you and I. Now, that's a whole other message that I don't have time to preach, but I can go through the word and prove it. You are not just here by chance. That the anointed one's anointing may dwell in your heart by faith. That you being rooted and grounded in love, and God is love, and that anointing that is dwelling in your heart by faith, that is being strengthened with might by his spirit, is rooting and grounding you in God, making you unmovable in God, settling you down in God. This is what we're after, people. And notice what comes as a result. That you may be able to do what? It be enlightened. Isn't that what comprehension is? An enlightenment, that you may be able to comprehend what is the length, the heights, the depth, and the breadth of God. That you may have a working understanding of how God operates. That's why the Spirit of God is trying to strengthen you with this might. That's why this anointing is steadily trying to work in your heart, because God needs some enlightenment upon you and I so that we can rise above what's going on in this natural world and be the world's answer. That's what you're here for. Jesus didn't play around with the sick. He didn't play around with the poor. He healed the sick. He made sure the poor were fed. He was the answer to their problem. He wasn't going to get down there and play around the problem with them. He didn't walk in there and become depressed because they were sad and crying at Lazarus' grave. He didn't get depressed. He opened his mouth and used what was working in him. He used that might, and he used his faith, and he was the answer to Lazarus, who was dead. Let's raise him up. When he went into the house and Jairus' daughter was on the bed dead, he didn't join in with the pity party. Matter of fact, the Bible says he put all them out. He put everybody out except the mama and daddy and the few people that he brought with him. And answered those parents' question. What are we going to do about my baby? She's dead. Jairus came and says, hey, my baby is lying at the point of death, but if you come, you can raise her up. He came and answered that question and raised that baby up. He didn't get into the pity party and say, oh, there's just nothing I'm going to be able to do here. She's already dead. She's with the Father. I guess God just needed another little angel in heaven to help him out. That ain't what he said. He didn't go in there talking about the Lord give it and the Lord take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's all we can do here. He didn't do that, did he? He raised that baby up. You are the answer. We are the answers. We're the ones that God is sending. But he has to rise up on us first. The Spirit of the Lord has to raise the standard up in us first. Because if it's not lifted up in us, then we can't answer anything. Because we can't even answer our own problems. So there's a strengthening that needs to go on here. And we're going to be looking at this. The Holy Spirit's job in our life. He has a work to do. He has been sent to do a work in you and I. Let him. Quit fighting with him. Let him do what he was sent and what he is anointed to do. And that is strengthen you. That you may be able to comprehend. And if you notice, it goes right on over. And that you would know the love of the anointed one and his anointing, which passes simple human understanding. And that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works within us. In other words, God's miracle working power can only work in you to the degree that you yield to what the Spirit of the Lord is trying to strengthen and anoint in you to do. It's not saying that God can't do it. He can't do it in you because you won't stretch and grow. You won't let the Holy Spirit do his work. The Bible says that you will be strengthened with might by his Spirit. Well, the Spirit of God is always trying to strengthen you with his might. Why? Because there's a miracle. There's a manifestation that you need and that you want and that you ask God for. But see, what you think God is going to do is just whoop, there it is. No, God's going to provide you with some information. God's going to provide you with some revelation. Because he can bring all of the good things into your life. But if you don't know anything and how to do it and how you got it, then how can you help answer somebody else's question? See, we want the now unto him that can do it exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask. I think we want that, but we don't want to do the strengthening part. Well, I'm telling you right now, it's according to the power. It's according to the amount of the Spirit that you are allowing to work within you. So the limit depends on you and I. God didn't put a limit there. It's wide open as far as God's concerned. He said, as for me, my Spirit is there. My words in your mouth. As for me, whatever the Spirit gives you and leads you to do, I'm going to support it. There is no limit when it comes to God. The only limitations in our life is the ones that we put there. Because you won't allow God to be and do what he says he wants to be and do in your life. You won't allow the Holy Spirit to stretch you on out. So we need to learn how to get our hands on this information. This is why I've been talking to you about being led by the Spirit, looking to the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues, praying in tongues. Praying in tongues. And we're going to look at some of this. I'm telling you right now, folks, God has given you every single thing you need to succeed in life. You already have it. You aren't coming short in any area. Everything you need to win is already on the inside of you. Everything. Everything. Everything you need. But I'm going to say this here. You aren't going to learn about any of it. You aren't going to rise up in any of it, hidden and missing with God. You might as well go ahead and make your mind up to that right now. You don't get anything hidden and missing. Not even in the natural. You don't get anything in and out, up and down. It is through consistency that everything grows on the negative side as well as the positive side. You didn't become, you can look at the person that is the biggest sinner in the world. They didn't become proficient at sin overnight. It came through consistency. The biggest alcoholic that you can find was not able to drink at the capacity that they drink right now without consistency in drinking. You can go through any area of life. The prostitute did not become being a proficient prostitute overnight. When she first started or when he first started, they didn't like it. But through continuation, they're comfortable with it now. Well, if that's true on the negative side, then it is more true on God's side. If you would learn how to be consistent with God, consistent with God, consistent with the Spirit, consistent with the Spirit. Bring yourself to church. I don't care that I'm tired. I'm going to take my tired self and sit it down in the chair because there's something that I need to hear. There's some information that God's going to give. There's a word that's going to come forth and it's going to answer a question for me. It's going to give me something to meditate on. It's going to give me something to confess. That's why I show up. I don't show up because Pastor wants me here. I show up because I need to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to me, the church. Amen. That's why you come. And you don't get that. I'm here this week. And then for the next 2 weeks, I don't know. And then if I feel like it, I'll be there. And then I don't know because I don't feel like it. And it's raining outside. My back hurt. My feet hurt. So I'm going to stay here. Well, my husband don't want to go. So I guess I'll stay here with him and cook him some breakfast. See, you don't want nothing. Just gone, just gone and prepare to be where you are. You don't want anything. You ain't going to get nothing. Nothing's going to happen. You're going to be in the same position that you are right now next year. Go on and fix your heart and enjoy it. I ain't going to lie to you. Ain't nothing going to happen. Why? Because you aren't down to business with God. But you expect God to show up and do all this great, grander, big, gigantic miracle in your life. And you won't even give him the time of day half the time. That ain't right. Well, y'all preaching on grace. Grace does not undo your faithfulness. Grace does not undo your dependability in God. Grace doesn't undo your faith. He says that it has to be by faith first that it might be by grace. No faith, then there's very little that grace can do for you. Why? Because you won't believe God. And you're not going to elevate in your belief sitting at home. You're not going to get anything sitting at home. Well, Pastor, I'm listening to the tape. I'm listening to the CD, you know, and I got T.D. Jakes on my TV. While you earning, while you cooking, while you walking around, you ain't paying attention to that. You ain't hearing that. You're not focused on that. You're not giving that your undivided attention. And those aren't nothing but an hors d'oeuvre. That's not a meal. I'm talking about people that want to win. People that's tired of where they are. It's time to win. I want to look different than the person sitting across from me at work that's in the world. I want to look different. I want to be different. Amen. When I drive a nice car with a car note, they got that in the world. Amen. I'm going to drive a nice car paid for. Live in a nice house paid for. Amen. Well in my body. Amen. Buy what I want to buy and can buy you whatever you need when I get ready. See, that's a difference. That's the difference. That's what's going to make people want your God. And you don't get there without the enlightenment of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Don't happen, folks. It's wishful thinking. It's a pipe dream. All right, now let's look at some more things here. So he wants to strengthen us with his might by his Spirit in our inner man. And that anointing would dwell in our hearts by faith. Now, why is this true? And what has he provided for us to make sure that we get our hands on the enlightenment that we need to walk in this? Because it can't be done. You can't go someplace that you don't know exists. You can't go there. You can't talk about something that you don't even know exists. How? I'm talking about your natural ability. It can't be done. Now, let's go. St. John chapter 16. Well, you go to St. John chapter 16. I want to read something to you out of St. John chapter 8. It just kind of just jumped out there at me. I read this yesterday and I didn't know if I was going to use it today, but the Holy Spirit must want me to read it. You just go to St. John chapter 16. Listen to this. This is Jesus talking here. And it comes out of John 8, and I'm going to read verse 23 and 24 from the Amplified Bible before you this morning. This is Jesus talking here. Jesus said unto them, you are from below and I am from above. You are of this world, of this earthly order, and I am not of this world or of this worldly order, earthly order. And this is why I'm telling you that that you will die in and under the curse of your sin. For if you do not believe that I am he who I claim to be, if you don't adhere to, trust in, and rely on me, you will die in your sin. In other words, if you don't start believing the stuff that I'm saying, there is nothing that I'm going to be able to do for you. That's all he's saying there. He can't do it if you won't believe it. I could have the ability to help you through anything that's going on in your life right now. But if you don't come and unto me with a belief that I can do it, it doesn't matter what my ability can do because you won't receive it. You will never show up to receive any of it because you don't believe I can do it. You find a man that's got a tattered and torn and soiled jogging suit on. And you bump into him at the grocery store. And you're looking all sad and depressed. And he asks you, well, what's wrong with you? And just for some strange reason, you don't know why you did it. You told him, well, you know, I got a mortgage payment due. I don't know how I'm going to pay it. So this man in this torn, tagged and soiled jogging suit says, well, when you get through here, call this number. And I help you with that. Now, he's a bum. He looks like a bum. Most people are going to do what? Oh, man, get out of here. You can't even help yourself. But what you didn't realize was he just got through working in his yard. And he just had that on because it was something comfortable he can work in. And remembered he had to go to the grocery store and get him a gallon of milk. But the man's a multimillionaire. But you blew him off because of what you saw. So you went home and kept on whining and worried about your mortgage payment, threw the number in the trash or on the floor or across the parking lot as you walked away. So his ability to help you didn't benefit you. Although he could, it didn't benefit you. Why? Because you didn't believe it. And this is what we do with God. God has the ability to help us do anything, but you don't believe it. You're too busy focused on what you see. And I'm trying to get you to see something different. I am working in partnership with the Holy Spirit to give you something different to focus on, to put something different in your ears so that there can be a different picture in your mind so that you can begin to see something better and want something better and start saying something better so that you can receive something better. But if you don't believe what I'm saying, and if what I'm saying doesn't convince you enough to go home and meditate on it, it's pointless. It's not going to help you. This is why Jesus says, if you don't believe that I am who I say I am, then you're going to die in and underneath the curse of your sins simply because you won't believe me. And this is the problem that's what's wrong with God. And this is the problem that's what's wrong with a lot of people in Works of Faith Ministries. And why we got to come in here every Sunday and try to pump you up to even get you to the point to where I can even get something in you. Because you haven't been believing like you're supposed to. Because believers are enthusiastic about God. Any moment, Father, any moment, this could be the day. Any moment, it could happen any moment now. Any moment.
Glory to God. Any moment. Amen.
I can get in my car and stop at McDonald's and run into somebody that writes me a check and solves every financial problem in my life. It could happen any moment. But you don't believe that. But you need to start. God has not lied to us, people. He has not lied to you and I. He is exactly who he says he is. But you need to arise. Get off from underneath that depressive state that you've been living under. I bind that in the name of Jesus. Satan is a lie. We are not a bunch of depressed people. That's not who you are. I break that right now. You are an enthusiastic bunch. Excited about God. Excited about this kingdom. In love with his spirit. That's who we are. Now, St. John chapter 16. Jesus says this in verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, then the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will not be able to come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. So Jesus is making a promise here, saying that if I depart, I will send the Holy Spirit, who is the Comforter, back unto you. This is why it says that you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit that was promised. Who promised it? Jesus said, if I go away, I will send him back. Well, he sent him and he has come and he now has come in you. Now, notice what Jesus says about this. And in verse 12, Jesus says, I yet have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear to hear them right now. In other words, without the Holy Spirit, there's information, there's enlightenment that you won't even understand right without him. You won't even be able to hear it. The very answer could be right in your face. But without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit working in you, then the enlightenment that God is trying to give to you, you don't even see it. You don't even understand it. This is why the folks in the world can read this Bible and can't get anything out of it. But you and I read the same Bible and see all kind of stuff in it. Why? Because you have the ability to think like God, act like God, know like God on the inside of you. Because God's in there. So Jesus says, hey, you can't even understand it right now. But when he... the Spirit of truth, or the Spirit of the Word, when he comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you. It didn't say he would do it for you. He said he will lead and he will guide you into all truth. The Spirit of God is always working within you, nudging you and nudging you into truth. He's always leading you there, bumping you right back into the path, nudging you right back on path. Why? Because there's enlightenment that you need to get out of the issues that are going on in your life. But he knows the answer. And so he has to nudge you over there. Sometimes he just can't drop it all on you at one time because you wouldn't be able to handle it. But he's a God of the, and helps you to discover. And you will be sitting there and all of a sudden enlightenment will come. I didn't see that at first. Why? No, it's because he just nudged you into something that you didn't even know was there. He knew it was there. He saw it. He just needed to get you in on it. He's going to lead and guide you into all truth. Truth about what? Whatever God has said to you about whatever you need to be said to you at that time. You know, God has said something to all of us about every aspect of our lives. Every last one of us. God has already spoken concerning you and I. He is not in the dark. He is not confused about who you are, what generation you are supposed to live in, and what you're supposed to be doing right now. He is not confused about it. He knows exactly what his plan is. Now, you may not know, but God knows. But if you will go ahead on and yield to the Spirit of God, then you will know too. Now, I'll prove some of this to you. Let's look here at Psalms. Let's see if I can. hadn't planned on looking at this, but Psalms chapter 39. Now, I'm getting ready to say something to you right now that I'm telling you, if you'll believe this and if you'll yield to this, there won't be anything that will come up in your life that you won't turn to God for an answer for. If you'll believe what you're going to read right now. Because what I'm getting ready to read to you right now settles for me that I am not here by myself and I'm not just bumping my way through life. You wasn't a mistake. God knows who you are. He knows where you're at. And he knows exactly what you need. Now, let's look at this. Verse. I can read all of this, but let's just get down to the point. Verse 15. It says, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret. Psalms 139, is that what I said? Oh, okay. Psalms 139. Everybody there? Because I want you to put your eyes on this. We're on verse 16, verse 15. Everybody there? Well, let's read the Amplified Bible too, while we're there. My frame was not hidden from you when I was formed in secret. Notice that. He says that your frame was not hid from God. Got it? Now, we know this is talking about Jesus, but it's also talking about you and I. Now, look at verse 16. Talking about God. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book are all the days of my life were written before they ever took shape, when as yet there was none of them. God said he has a book that has recorded all of his plans concerning your life before any of them ever took place. He already knows where you are and where you need to be. You know, I got in my truck this morning and the Lord just drops little things in your mind for you to think about. And I was thinking about something and he said this. People chase dreams. He says, people have been trained, you chase your dream. You've heard that, chase your dream. He says, wrong. He said, chase me and I'll fulfill your dream. See, people are chasing things and trying to become when all they need to do is chase after God and they end up. Because God knows where it is. See, you think you know, but you really don't know. God knows because he's already recorded the perfect plan for your life. And if you chase after him, you will end up in your dream. And where you will end up will be much, much better than what you were chasing in the first place. Why? He's already recorded in the book what is supposed to go on with you. How precious and weighty also are your thoughts to me, O God, and how vast are the sums of them. I want God's plan. Because his plan is above all that I could ask or think. His plans are beyond my ability to conceive in my natural mind. No, there ain't no telling where your life will end up chasing God. But I will tell you this, it'd be a million times better than anything you could have dreamed up. Well, I chase God, I may end up in Africa. That's all right. End up in Africa. It'll be the best time you ever had in your life in Africa. You'll be saying to yourself, why didn't I move here 10 years ago? I'm telling folks, we need to get this. We need to start looking to the Spirit of God for our answers and quit thinking we know everything. Stop thinking that you are your own God. Quit trying to be your own God. He said, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up the standard in your life by giving you the words to put in your mouth so that you can arise and shine in the glory that He's already written down in His book about you and I. Now, that's a whole lot better than me hitting and missing all my life. And never, ever making it to the big, to the starting line of where I was supposed to be. Following the Holy Ghost. Listen to the Spirit of God. Now, we're going to end with this. Isaiah chapter 46. We're in there today. And we'll probably pick it up there all next week. Isaiah chapter 49. And let's start reading here. Verse 15. This is God talking here. I have spoken. So God says, hey, I don't spoke. I have called him. I have brought him. And he shall make his way prosperous. How? By following God, who's already spoken. Notice, you'll make your way prosperous. Prosperous by following God who's already spoken. I'll say it again. You will make your own way prosperous by chasing after God who's already spoken concerning what's already written down in his book concerning you. Verse 16 says, come ye near unto me and hear this. So you got to come hear it. You got to put yourself in a position to hear it. He says, come. In other words, you got to make up your mind that what God has to say is important enough for you to show up to hear it. Come and hear this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, and from the time that it was, there am I, and now the Lord God and His Spirit has sent me. Come hear this. Because this is what the Lord God has sent for you to hear. This is what the Lord God has given to the Spirit to come tell you. And it's what He's already written in His book concerning your life. He says, I haven't spoken in secret. It is not something that you can't know. I want you to know it. So come hear it. And if you will hear it, you will make your way prosperous. Thus saith the Lord. Thy Redeemer. The word Redeemer means the person that has already paid for you to come back to something. So it's already been paid for. There's an inheritance that's already been paid for and it belongs to you. And he says, I am the Lord. Thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I'm the Lord your God who will teach you how to profit. How? By leading you in the way that you should go. I'm the one, God says, I'm the one that's going to show you how to prosper in your way by leading you in the way that you should go. Well, we just got through reading in John 16 that when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will lead and guide you into all truth, which will be the prosperous place, because it's what God has to say concerning you. But you keep on trying to figure out how to make your own way prosperous. No, I don't need to figure it out myself. What I need to do is find out what is God saying and then get in on that. He already knows. He's already determined my place of success. He's already notched out for me everything I need to be successful. It is already laid up. It is already laid up for you. Now, here's the last little bit of truth that the Holy Spirit told me the other day. He says, here's another problem. People think that they're supposed to labor for provision, that you got to go to work to get what you need. He says that's the world sets thinking, and it's wrong. It's not my way. He says, no, you don't labor for provisions. He says, no, you believe for provisions, and out of your provisions, you can go labor. It's reversed. We get from God, and when we get from God, we're able to now bless other folks. We're able to labor, blessing other people. But what we've done is allowed the devil to put in our mind that if I don't work so many hours, I got to add this many of overtime hours to my paycheck so I can do this, or I can get this, or I can buy that. No, the Bible says, come ye and buy without money. You're supposed to buy it with your faith, get it from God through grace, and then you can turn around, and now I can really do some laboring now. I can help people now because I can labor in the things of God. But I don't get any of that trying to figure out how to do it myself. I only get in on it by following God. Looking unto the Spirit. Going after God. He is your answer. He's everything that we need. All right? So we'll stop there. We'll pick it up there on Sunday. Looking unto the Holy Spirit. I'm not coming off of this. I am not backing off of it. And I'm not going to preach it like some little weak little punk preacher won't scare to tell you something. I'm going to tell you the absolute truth. Be mad, but I'm going to tell you. Because we're going to get this, and we are walking in this. We are a Spirit-filled, Spirit-led church. And we are going to see, we are going to experience the glory of God. And that glory is found in the flow of the Holy Ghost. And we in it. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We believe your word. We receive your word. And this word will bless us and increase us and raise us up in Jesus' name. Amen.